Hello, this is the Dot Matrix, and I'm Sean.
I'm Justin.
And we are back after a 2.5 month hiatus, it appears.
Yeah, we're totally not going to make our goal of 50 by the end of the year, eh?
We'd have to average one a week, I think, by this point, because we're November 19th today, 2011.
Hey, never say never. You never know.
I never say never, except when voting for NPA. But we'll talk about that in a bit. But how's it going, Justin?
Other than my body is falling apart on me, it's going okay.
Yeah, trudging through the snow.
Trudging through the snow, uphill both ways, you know? I'm just so thankful yesterday when I left the house. I just had my usual slip on, just that kind of casual shoes on. And then I'm like, oh, I guess it's a bit snowy. And I mean, it snowed very little, very little. And there was just a bit of snow on the ground. I thought, you know, maybe I just change my shoes to my snow boots. Thank God I did. Because actually, when you think about it, I was going to campus. And not everything's all, you know, shoveled yet, right, in the morning. So it was actually quite snowy around. But when the power lines get taken down by falling trees, I'm like, there was like little snow left. And then still a tree falls. I don't get the city sometimes about snow.
Well, yeah, I guess we're never totally prepared, even for a slight snowfall.
Having to walk 35 minutes to campus, it was a bit of a chaos.
Well, see, and I didn't see the snow until Thursday night when I left. Oh. And my friend and I, my colleague and I, were going to our wine tasting, our once-a-month wine group that we have, Happy Sippers, which we'll post a link to.
Happy Sippers. Because
we blog about it, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have I not told you that? I guess not.
What blog is this on now, where you're blogging about it? Do you have another blog?
Oh, well, it's not my personal blog. It's just our group blog that mainly the people who host the gatherings each time.
Oh, right.
Post the cheeses we talk taste.
Oh, right. Yes, and the wine. Sorry,
so you know about that
one. Yeah, I know about that one.
So anyway, we got out of the work. Ended up having to work late, actually. Some client thing we were trying to finish. And it's dark, and the hugest snowflakes. You know?
Really?
And we were going to a place by the P&E, a house by the P&E, where it's kind of on a hill, like Dundas kind of area.
Yes.
We parked near the top of a hill, just in case, you know, a few hours later, we get out and snow everywhere. So.
Right.
So we didn't, in a way, we didn't have to drive down the hill. We could just drive back onto the main road, kind of at level, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
So I was like, wow, I love the snow. And you know I love the snow. You know I get excited when the snow comes. And I know how you feel about the snow.
Grow up already.
What was that discussion about 30-year-olds and pins?
All I know is now that I spend most of my life on campus, I feel old, and just really old.
But it's nice. You're in that nice cocoon, that bubble.
The academia cocoon you're talking about? Yes. Yeah, it's very, very odd.
And just UBC life in general, right? Because it's its own town, really.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
I mean, I love it. My new job is fantastic. And great colleagues, great team that I'm working with.
That's good.
But it's just so funny. Like, you know, my job involves a whole bunch of programs that involve students, but also, like, you know, high school and elementary school students. Like, it's out in the community and that sort of stuff. And last night I was in an event, a sporting event that had, you know, we were bringing elementary school students to campus to learn about the school and just start to think about, well, wow, maybe I can go to UBC at some point in my life. And they're like grade 5, 6, or 7, right? So it's very early, right?
That is. I was going to say, wow.
and you get to sort of meet with some, you know, varsity athletes and start to think, wow, if he or she can be here.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Like, a lot of these athletes, which I was, you know, stunned, were one so committed to just being a volunteer in this little program and then loved it. And they had this, and I think the varsity and the athletics department have its own little, like, own cocoon, its own like a community, tight-knit community, because everyone's sort of having a similar experience, right? I mean, there's all these little communities on campus of different students, right? Either student groups or, you know, we're all, I mean, arts is too big to have it sort of small knit community, but it's just everyone sort of could be doing history or languages or whatever.
Right.
But athletics is such a different one, right? And they have got these sports that they have a team around, plus they're all still doing their academic career at the same time, which is
important.
You know, which is a different kind of dynamic, right?
When you're
every week you need to be training, or every week you might be traveling to a different city to compete, right?
Yeah.
But still, you're taking your coursework, and I swear every one of them was like cell biology, neuro pathways, and I'm like,
that's awesome.
Like I was like a little applaud, right, you know, like this is incredible stuff. I mean, it's really difficult, but it's funny because you're sort of, as a professional staff, your own little sort of world because you're a paid staff there.
Yes.
And then so you're sort of watching all this happen. You're on campus, but you're not part of it. And you really shouldn't be part of it because you're not, that's not your experience. You're not there as a student, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting like thing. Like, wow, this is really cool. But you're like, but you're watching it from the sidelines, right? So it's fascinating. It's just a fascinating thing, right? But the job is about how do you bring it all together with community and elementary. Like, there's all these different ties. So it's really cool. But every day I feel older and older. Like, the other day I was waiting at the bus loop with a couple of people who I work with, much younger than I am. And I sort of said, oh, yeah, you know, New York City. And we're talking about favorite museums. And I'm like, okay, I can get into this conversation, right? You know, I'm old. I like museums now.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about New York City and the Met.
Right? Yeah.
And I mean, you and I were at the Met when we were out there. Yeah. But I think it was a different experience when I was there. And I think, or maybe I was referring to my sister's experience when she saw, I think she saw Richard Dreyfuss there.
Oh, okay.
And she ended up following him around for a little bit. And I just sort of said that, oh, yeah, following him around Richard Dreyfuss. And both of them stared at me blankly. I'm like, who?
Right.
And I'm like, that's my old moment of the day. And they had to look it up on their smartphones about who he was. And, oh, Jaws! Oh, you know, like...
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Mr. Holland's Opus. But then I kind of felt vindicated because the next day I asked other people who I work with who are equally young, and both of them knew who Richard Dreyfuss was. So.
And I liked Mr. Holland's Opus. It's just that last piece at the end, just turned up the cheese notch, like, full blast.
Well, you know...
Like, it could have been better.
Well, now that we're moving from a story about feeling old to actually a movie review about Mr. Holland's Opus, I agree with you. Because, you know, what I found, you have movies like that where it culminates, like the whole story is about that piece or that, you know, and it was, one, atrocious. I'm no musicologist or, you know, but...
Well, I mean, you know a lot about music.
I like to appreciate it, I guess, you know.
Aficionado?
I was going to say aficionado, but that sounded too serious or too profound.
Too stuffy or what,
But you know, it's you can't win. Like, you build up that story, and it's about that pivotal piece of music or, you know, work of art or whatever it could be, right? Like, it's always going to disappoint because you're always, whatever is in your mind is going to be much better than what it actually is. Right?
Yeah.
Or like a creepy movie when you don't see the monster till the very end, and then you see the monster at the end and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
no, I know.
It never works.
I know.
Show it at the beginning and then just build, you know, or whatever. Or he should have played, or maybe, you know, the movie starts with the thing.
With the thing.
And then you build to it, right?
Yeah. Something. And then you're not playing so much of it at the end again because it's just... Like, I was just like, oh no, it could be so much better than this. But, well, that's really cool. I'm glad you're enjoying your new job and much happier overall at work. So that's
great. things are good. Yeah, things are good.
Excellent.
So let's talk about the election.
Okay.
That's the big thing.
Well, I know you and I both voted today.
Well, I'm
sorry, you were planning to.
I will vote today.
I went out. We got up around 7:45.
Yeah.
Because we just wake up around that time. The dog's ready to get up.
Because you're old, like everyone else. You just get up. You don't have to say give excuses. You just get up because your body says it's time for the early bird breakfast. Sorry, that was bad.
It's okay.
To everyone who enjoys early bird breakfast, which is me, I enjoy them as well.
Oh, absolutely. But, so we're like, okay, let's get up and let's go vote because it's just at the elementary school nearby. the community center at Britannia. So we thought, well, let's take the dog. Nice brisk fall morning. It's sunny. It's cold, but it's beautiful. Go in one at a time, do our voting. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of things to vote for.
Yes.
I keep forgetting that when you go for municipal, because you got 10 counselors, you got a mayor, you got 9 school trustees.
Is it nine? Wow. Okay.
7 parks boards. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I had a good idea of who I was going to vote for already.
Sure.
You know, because obviously I'm a supporter of Vision Vancouver in general. But, you know, I thought, let's just look at the ballot, just kind of make sure I'm getting who I, you know, get sure. a lot of people to vote for.
Lots.
You gotta fill in that little circle.
Do they have those booklet, information booklets in the booth? Or, because I remember when I voted the first time for the municipal election, I can't remember if I brought that into the booth with me, but I remember flipping through it rather intently that first year I voted municipally.
You can.
But
they don't have anything there.
They don't have anything. Because for some reason, I couldn't remember whether I brought it in or it was there, sitting there, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just blank. Oh, it's just instructions of what to do.
Sure,
thing,
okay.
It was good.
So you went through, you looked...
Went through, I felt really good about my choices.
Did you vote for the full slate, like all 10 votes did you
yes.
cast? So you
absolutely.
You, okay.
I thought, I'm just going to get as many of the people I want on there as I can, and as least amount of the people I don't want on there. So I did all my voting, I felt good, I checked it over, and it took a good amount of time, and I thought, man, I couldn't imagine waiting for 20 people to go through that.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? But, you know, typically it's kind of lower turnout than other elections.
Right.
But they are saying that we'll probably get more this time. But I think it will be an interesting result tonight.
So you're going to have it on TV as you're doing your dinner and wine tonight? have it on in the background?
I don't know if we will, but I'm sure that Elaine will be kind of... not keeping tabs, but
checking
she
it
might
on
check
her,
it on yeah, her phone, yeah. right?
So that's what I'll probably do tonight too.
I don't know if you had any thoughts of who might win or what kind of mix we'd have, but any thoughts on who will win the mayor seat?
Well, I think that's the only one really worth talking about because
yes.
everything else is very it's interesting because usually incumbent, I don't know about Vancouver, but most municipalities you're
yeah.
like you know, the incumbents get in unless they've done something horrible.
Right.
And
usually take something crazy.
Yeah, and changes happen when people retire and then there's an open seat that has no incumbent, right? Like, so,
right.
so I, and there's so many to choose from in terms of but the interesting discussion is always obviously on the mayor side, right? and you know, my gut is I don't think anything horrible happened in a way that would make Vision not lose its majority in whatever it has, right?
Yeah.
And, but in terms of merits, obviously between Suzanne Anton and Gregor Robertson, right? So
yeah.
Vision with the current mayor, progressive, and Suzanne Anton nonpartisan but partisan.
Right.
I mean, that's always my beef about municipal elections is that without going into anything about the politics, I fundamentally cannot vote for a party whose name is a misnomer.
I know, and you're not the only one I've spoken to about that.
It's atrocious. It's an affront to the democratic process
yeah.
to sort of say you're nonpartisan, but you have a political leaning. Like
that makes no sense.
You should call yourself the Conservative Party of Vancouver or whatever, you know, the BC Liberal / Vancouver chapter or something,
sure.
right? If you truly were the principles of it doesn't, you just want quality candidates, then you should have people who would normally be on the Vision ticket
yes.
be on the NPA. But anyways, how many times have we complained about this?
But that's interesting that you bring that up, though, because I look through the slate of people on the NPA, and you have, you know, Curmudgeon-y Anton, fine. But you've got other people that actually a few of them seem to come across as someone who really wants to do good for the city and doesn't have these kind of weird right-wing views, you know?
Right.
But then you're like, but why are they on that? Why are they in that party? What is it about? They seem thoughtful. They seem intelligent. What is it about them not wanting to be on Vision or Cope? You
right.
know, it's like there's some mysterious
yeah.
thing that they're not, like, especially there's a lot of young candidates, like
yeah.
youngish, they in their little spiels that calls them community leaders, They want affordable housing. Like, they all, a lot of them all want the same thing, the candidates,
Right.
but it's how you get there.
Yep.
And it, I think the biggest difference is the NPA want the provincial and federal levels to be more involved with the affordable housing, and where this Vision and COPE and others want a more hands-on aspect to clever solutions. Whereas, so I think to a lot of people, just like the NPA just wants to pass the buck, right?
Right.
So when you have like young, thoughtful people in the party, you think, why is it like, I can't help but wonder, and you know, we went to the Biltmore to talk to them, right?
Right. Yes.
And
Yeah.
oh man, I should dig out the name of this one guy. I couldn't believe it, because the Klassen from the NPA,
Okay.
can't remember his first name. He's one of the better, more well-spoken people, more seem community oriented,
Council?
for council.
Okay.
There's another councillor, this other man, I can't remember his name, but I'll look it up. But they both came to our table at once, and Klassen was very much like, yeah, this is what I think, and this is who I am. But the other guy was so schmoozy, like, hey, put her there, kind of thing, you know? And an older gentleman at our table asked him a question, something to do with affordable housing. It was a very specific question, I remember. And the guy started to run off this roundabout answer that danced around it. And then the guy cut him off and said, you know, can you just please answer my question? And he started to get argumentative, the NPA guy, as in, well, this is what I said, and this is how I answered it. I actually did answer your question. And I was sitting there like,
Wow.
oh boy, because even if the NPA guy thought that he did answer the gentleman's question, the perspective of the citizen was, you didn't.
Right. So whose fault is it? Whose problem is it? It's the candidate's problem. Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought, wow, he came off as so argumentative and combative.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's why I don't like the MPA, right?
Well, because the right answer, and there is a right answer to that scenario, is, sorry, I guess I wasn't clear enough. Let me try again, and tell me
Exactly.
if I'm getting to your point.
Exactly.
Very easy.
So easy,
And
right?
then and whether or not the person agrees or not is irrelevant. It's just how you approach that comment,
Well,
right?
I looked at Klassen's face,
Right.
and he had a bit of a stone face, like, don't mess it up, you know? Like, don't, like, I couldn't help but think that. He looked very stern, and like, he just looked not impressed.
Right.
So I was like, oh man. So anyway, that's just one of many stories of the Biltmore gathering that I went to,
Well, it's
but
kind of neat because I didn't know the format and I couldn't go because I was curling. But
yes, which we should talk about after.
my awful attempts at curling. But anyways, but it sounds like it's a good format. Like you had sort of had kind of a World Cafe kind of thing where you were at tables and candidates rotated to your table. Is that how it went, or did
Yep,
you? Okay.
pretty much, just like speed dating. So I knew
Cool.
that going in because I read a little blurb about
And
it.
that's really neat. I like
Oh,
that.
it was great.
Because it's better than having everyone lining up and then you say your speech and then you answer questions and then you have your closing remarks. Like, that's not helpful.
Well, but
Well,
that
sometimes it's not helpful.
the interesting thing about that is that they did both,
Oh, they did both. Okay.
because you know, there were like inside the Biltmore, you got a lot of those booths,
Sure.
and then you have all that room in the middle that people usually dance. Well, they had chairs there. And
Right.
then they had the stage where they had about a dozen candidates from all different parties,
Okay.
and other independent parties and independent people,
Good.
which is great. So the great thing about it was they would say, okay, a candidate, find a table. So we had a number on our table, and they said, gather on a table as much as you can, or have a seat and you can ask your questions after, right? So every 5 minutes they'd announce the topic, which I thought was important too. I
Okay.
didn't realize they'd do that.
Okay.
Right, I thought candidate would come over and be like, so what do you want to talk, what do you want to ask me,
Right.
right? No, it was actually a little
Oh,
more
nice.
regulated that
I
way.
like that, but sometimes you just don't know what you want to ask.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that was me. I almost got a little nervous because I was like, oh well, when I'm reading about something I get all my opinions,
Right.
but when I'm actually face to face with someone, it might fly
Right.
away, right? So it was a really good exercise, and you wouldn't believe how long 5 minutes seems sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Because there was sometimes a candidate would come by and we'd ask a couple questions and he'd answer them, and we'd all look at around each other like, okay, well, who's next? And they had a facilitator at each table too.
Oh, good.
To help it running, and ours was really nice and really just like, okay, let's keep it moving, you know. Nice. So, very good process.
So, without divulging who you voted for, yes. In that process, I mean, obviously it sounded like this Klassen person from MPA was kind of impressive. At least it left a mark on you. Anyone else leave a mark on you that kind of went, oh, that was interesting, or that candidate was interesting?
Absolutely.
So who?
A couple people.
Okay. Do you remember their names?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Andrea Reimer.
Vision, oh, okay, yes.
Which you know.
Yes.
Yeah. She's one of the more notable names of the party. I think just not only from her backstory, but also what she stands for, what she's been able to accomplish within council. But she didn't actually come to our table. We didn't get to talk to her. She was ended up at others. But not all the candidates got to go around to every table.
Sure, right.
But when the question and answer later, when people got to line up and ask questions, right. And a lot of them were really good questions, I must say. Well, oh, I must say it was a more respectful debate, too. There wasn't a bunch of Occupy people
on right. there. Right, I'm hearing about the one you were at St. Andrews Wesley, and that was the big story, was that there's a lot of Occupy Vancouver protesters who went and disrupted that particular mayoral meeting. But anyways, keep going with...
That was crazy. But yeah, we might get to that. I almost rather not, but... You pretty much summed it up right there.
Okay.
But
Andrea Reimer.
I've never really seen at a political level, aside from Christy Clark or even Gordon Campbell, and I'll explain what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, I've never heard Andrea Reimer being linked to both of those other people. But anyways, I'm with you. Tell me.
Mainly how much she can think on her feet.
Oh, okay.
And how much she can actually... say in a few minutes. When she has 2 minutes to speak, how much substance she gets out in her answer and her almost urgency to want to get things across and not looking for words. And oh, it was amazing. Right. She knew how to answer every question. I think out of all the people that asked questions answered them, rather, she was the most forthcoming and direct.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, good. She's going to be mayor one day.
Wow.
I think so.
Okay.
I think, you know, after Robertson's time, if she still pursues days on council and they eventually need another leader, I think she should go for it.
Interesting. Okay. Yep. So who else?
The other one was, remarkably, Chris Shaw.
Chris Shaw.
Do you recognize that name?
No, I don't.
He was the big anti-Olympic guy. Wade all leading up to the Olympics.
Sure, yes.
You know
what,
the no side?
Yes, yes.
He's on the degrowth party.
Okay.
Which you may have seen, I don't, in our neighborhood, there's a lot of degrowth signs on posts and stuff.
I have like...
Shrink the economy.
Yeah, I have Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver. That's the big party that
they
has
were there.
Presence.
Yeah. Yeah. They were actually decent too.
Okay.
But Chris Shaw was cool because he's all about... democracy at its root level, you know?
Right.
Like,
yep.
If you in your neighborhood want this, then council should be able to work with you directly on how to achieve that. And which hey, cool. Like, he had a lot of cool things to say, but he does come across as a bit of a 99%er, you know? Like,
right.
Which, not saying there's anything wrong with that, but he's kind of coming from that kind of angle, you know? Like, he came to our table and he got in this thing about how growing the economy at the rate that countries want to do it and keep going, it's just not sustainable. Like, it actually, that's why you're seeing countries have so many problems, because their economies are just failing because they can't sustain this growth, right?
Actually, sorry, and the one point I want to make, I think about sort of when we went to see David Suzuki and he sort of said the same thing, like,
yes,
you should know, like, growth always continually exponentially for the rest of your life. That doesn't make sense. Only cancer does that. Exactly. And I think we have this weird economic value that if you're not growing, it's bad. And actually, if you're just sustaining and everything is 0% growth, is that not bad? Like, that's probably fine, right? You know, when you think about it, as long as that level of the economy means that, you know, everyone is still relatively employed, and like, why are we aiming for more growth? I mean, you have to grow if you need, as the population grows, but other than that, having exponential growth makes no, like, why?
That's your point. A very good point. It kind of comes from that kind of Suzuki way of thinking, which I totally agree with. But anyway, He came up as very thought provoking. Aside from that, I think those were the main three. Okay. Oh, and then this young fellow, like he's 22, Trevor Loke. Okay. And he's going for Park Sport. And he came to our table, he was the first one. And yeah, he was young, fresh faced and stuff, but his attitude was great. And he answered people's questions as directly as he could. And I thought, wow, he's way better spoken than half these NPA people that came around the table, you know? Hmm. So and he's on Vision. So I thought, hey, okay. Great, new candidate. Hey, let's throw him in there.
Oh, know? Yeah, I read his profile. That's right. I did that one. Yeah,
he said he's been in politics since 14 in different ways. So I thought, hey, he's already a veteran. So that was that was the main ones.
So mayor, I know your opinion for mayor, as you've said it on Facebook.
Right. I said who will not be mayor, yes. Right?
Yes. And, you know, and it's funny, like, it's obviously, you know, as I said, like, 5 minutes ago, it's clearly between Suzanne Anton and the NPA and Gregor Robertson for Vision.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, I'm pretty sure who I'm going to vote for, but what I thought was really funny mm-hmm. about Suzanne Anton is, you know, I mean, she has this reputation. I said this to Vanessa, my sister, just this morning. I said, you know, the sad thing about Suzanne Anton is that she is perceived as a no person. You know, and she has this brand of, no. I'm using that voice. And, sorry, but, and so there's two things at play here. Either she is a no person and she's articulating that well, or she actually is a really great yes person, but for some reason cannot articulate that, and everyone just assumes she's a no person.
Yeah.
Either way, those aren't reasons to vote for her. No. Because if you are a yes person, but you come across as a no person, however you come across, whether the media picks up on it unfairly or fairly, it's your problem.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
And so, if you are a no person, then great, vote for that. But if you are a yes person, hoping she will be a yes person and she'll get out of that no person brand.
Yes.
That's probably not the best vote to cast. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I just remember, it was clear as day, I was in the morning news, I was watching breakfast television, I just turned to it, and the newscaster sort of said, oh, you know, and Suzanne Anton was here at our show, and she was talking about her views, and here's a clip. And the clip was not more than 20 seconds long, it was very, very short, and I think she said the word no 10 times. And Suzanne Anton, no to this. And actually, what the funny thing was, she said no to cuts to services because it's your taxpayer dollars, so you should get the services you pay for. And that's a yes thing. But she framed it for some reason in her mind, she had to say no to cuts to services.
That's a double no.
Yeah. And I'm like, you could have just say, we think services are important and you pay for them and we want to make sure they're maintained.
Yes.
There's no in there at all. But some reason in her mind, what has to come out is no. Because it was a nice alliteration. No to this, no to that, and no to cuts to services. Well,
double negative.
Like, yes, I understand the joy of alliteration.
Sure.
No, and everything comes in threes. You know, that's stylistically crazy. Fine. But, you know, you have to fight that. And just say something positive. Like, she actually has a very positive stance. And I don't disagree with that. I think you're paying for your services. You should get the ones that are mandated under, you know, under what municipal government should be providing.
Yes.
Like, totally. Yay. Yeah. But if you can't articulate that in a positive way, yeah. You've got problems.
Yeah. Did you see the people in chicken suits standing on the road?
No.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Derek's friend, our great friend Derek, his Facebook friend posted something I thought was really funny. I should forward it to you, or we'll post it, because it's like desperate or clever tactics, right? Because like the second last day,
okay,
before the election, and or maybe it was just yesterday, and the NPA actually had a few people standing on some street with signs like Gregor's Chickens or something, like, and they were in chicken suits, like, it's just they're going for this common sense thing,
right?
Which is just like, you know, okay, sure, maybe the chicken thing is a bit weird or whatever to a lot of people, but
right.
really is it they're it's what they're choosing to pick at that is just right. so like, wow.
Yeah.
Really? Is that your defense?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny because there's a couple of things that I think about, like, that I believe in. One is you shouldn't feel scared to try things out. And so maybe yes. the chicken things aren't the right thing to do, but hey, give it a try, see if it works, and if yeah. it doesn't, then pull the plug on it, change the bylaw, or just, you know, vote it down or whatever. So, you know, I think at least you're trying something and you're not just consistently going, well, this is the way it's always been done. This is the way it should be done or whatever. So in that respect, I have that sort of point of view in municipal, or actually most levels of government. Right. And the other piece is this unfounded notion that if you can run a small business, you can run government. You know, and I think in many ways, that's the foundation of NPA. It's, you know, solid, that's right. At least from what I know, just being inundated with media and stuff as opposed to really drilling down. So I have to preface that I haven't drilled down into the NPA platform as much as I could. But, you know, I mean, reading some of the bios of the candidates there, you know, some of them position themselves as, oh, I'm a small business owner, or this person candidate has been a small business owner for years, and hence he or she can be really great on council. And in some of the same ways why, you know, when you and I were watching the Liberal leadership stuff and I started to get really angry when the guy said, oh, I run two Tim Hortons so I can be your premier. No.
No.
That is not right. And the same thing goes with municipal politics too. Yeah. Like, running government is different than running a business. Like,
yeah.
you have, it's not that simple, you know? I mean.
Herman Cain.
Oh, did you see that ad? The Herman Cain, the one that was really viral about his campaign manager, and he
randomly have a moral problem?
Or no, he randomly smokes.
What?
If you Google,
are you serious?
On you, or you search on YouTube, Herman Cain ad, or even Herman Cain ad plus smoking, you'll see the original ad
are
that
you
is
serious?
Really weird. But I think it's a funny. It was a test. I think sorry. And
anyway,
sorry,
yeah.
my end of my NPA stuff or whatever is that, you know, there. So for me, that's where I'm thinking about as I tend to think about voting. And
yeah.
But in terms of the mayoral thing, like, I don't see any way how Susan Anton could beat Gregor Roberts. Nothing yeah. offensive in a big way has happened. I think the wedge issues like Occupy Vancouver and the riots in Vancouver after the Stanley Cup. I think people don't see those as black and white issues as much as I sure. think the NPA wished it they could have. It was clearly, you know, oh, well, they should have been, that encampment should have been gone after day one or whatever. Then that's a wedge issue.
Yeah.
Or the right, I think people are smarter to kind of go, well, they should have cracked down or they shouldn't have, or it's being too, you know, it's too long for getting charges or whatever. It's complexities to it
yeah.
that I think the voters of Vancouver are smarter. To kind of go, well, oh, well, he totally screwed that up.
Yeah, right.
And even so, like, even if he did, the mayor isn't the only person who has responsibility
yes.
for how that happens.
Correct.
Right? So I think in that respect, nothing has happened. I kind of feel bad for Susan Anton. I feel really bad for her generally, I guess. But, like, you know, she's on council, and she miraculously won her council seat last time when Vision wiped everyone off the map, right?
Sure.
So she's still there. I don't understand why, unless if she really does want to be mayor, why would she jump up to the plate this time?
Yeah.
Because she's going to lose, yeah. is my prediction.
Yes.
For not saying she's bad or good, I just don't think she's going to win this election. And if she really was keen on making a difference in municipal politics, then if I was her, I would have not gone for the mayor. Let someone else do it and lose, because someone's going to lose to Gregor. And then try to just keep your council seat.
Well, that was my next question. Because if she loses this,
she's
not anywhere.
No, yeah.
I mean, she's taking a gamble here.
She's taking a gamble. And I mean, I don't Jeez. Know. Some friend of hers should have just said, Suzanne, I really like you. I think you're a great counselor. Don't screw that up. Like,
yeah.
hold on for yeah, another yeah. term. And maybe Gregor Robertson will do something really crazy.
Yeah.
Or he'll just, you know, move on and maybe run for the, you know, premiership. Who knows? Everyone who's mayor of Vancouver ends up trying, right? And wait till the pathway's clearer and then get your message right and then go for it then. You know, like, unless, you know.
You're totally right.
You know, I just felt like someone should have told her that a little bit more careful. Or just really.
Had sat her down and
yeah.
had her think about it. Well, I think that I think that's a really good point. And I think, though, after 3 years of being virtually outnumbered on every issue, like, she's voted... I think there's only, like, one or two things that she voted with the rest of council on.
Right.
And I think she just thought, well, it's just one of me right now. Why don't I just go for it?
You know, and that's when you... As you were sort of... I knew that's your point you were going to get to. And I'm like, you know, that's actually a really good point, too, because... You know,
it's like, what has she got to lose?
What have you got to lose? And two, you know, it's lonely. You know, if you have a certain political view, and you know, I don't necessarily agree with at least what I've been receiving in terms of what her political view is. But she has every right to have it, and actually, that's an important voice to have amongst the 10 counselors, which is fine. But you know, you're right. I mean, it's a lonely place, and maybe she's, you know, that last few years have been totally uncomfortable. Really awful. It's
gotta be tough.
And it's got, yeah. And so why not step up and try? Yeah, that's a good point, because then maybe you don't want to be count. Maybe she's like, you know, it's not worth it.
I don't want to go through another 3 years of this. I might as well make a go out of it.
That's a fair, really fair point.
Well, and I was just thinking too, like, I don't think she's a bad person.
Oh, of course not. No, I think she's probably a very nice person.
Demonized or anything, and I'm probably guilty of, you know, trying to make her sound kind of very ultra negative. But
right,
I the one thing I will say about the St. Andrew Wesley experience is that it was just her and Gregor, and after getting your mind past all the yelling and shouting with the Occupy people and all that, she did. I felt overall she did kind of hold her own. It wasn't like Gregor totally like wiped the floor with her.
Right.
It's just, you know, and there were some MPA supporters there, you could tell. There's this woman in front of me who kept nodding, and every time Anton said something. And she did come across as very human, you know, when she talked about the death of that young girl at the Occupy site.
Right.
You know, and it was very pleasant between the two. Like, it wasn't really aggressive between them when they debated.
Good.
I think they actually respect each other to a certain point. It's not like when you see candidates at a higher level, you know. Like, right. It's like, yeah, I don't think you're an idiot, but I disagree with you, you know. It's like that kind of thing. And there were some points that she made that... Most people, like the better part of the room,
spoke to the Preston in you.
She's been hanging out with Christy Clark. I won't get into that. But, well, you know, I mean, sometimes there is like, you know, I want my tax dollars to go to stuff I know is going to be helped.
And that speaks to a higher, you know, level of understanding where it's really clear that, you know, we might have a majority, like, we're complex human beings.
Yes.
Human beings
we're
are
one
not,
idea.
Yeah. Like,
that's why we need a strong center. We need the Liberal Party of Canada to come back. Anyway, sorry. But one thing I, the only time I was scared or worried that Robertson might not win.
Okay. Yeah.
Was after the fallout from the riot. I thought, you know, this could just do him in. It's close enough to the upcoming elections, a couple months away.
Yeah.
That the people complaining...
Hey, but the focus ended up being that kissing couple on the street, so it's all good.
I know. Which was a great photo.
It's an amazing photo.
Like, wow. But, but then you're right. A lot of it actually centered on, you know, the police and others and stuff, even though I don't think that was correct either. I thought the police have done a good job, in my opinion, my humble one. But you're right, though. Anton painted it as a leadership issue. Like, the buck stops at the leader's, the mayor's desk is her big coin phrase, right? And it's like, well, you know, Robertson put his faith in Chief Chu to do, going into the riots, to do what he felt was necessary. And he said, you know, I'm leaving it with you. You don't need to give me all the details. Is that the right thing or not? I don't know. Whatever. It happened. But that was the only time I was worried.
Yeah.
Well, but I really don't think he's going to be affected by it, honestly.
I don't think so either.
Like, same with Occupy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, every city, major city, is dealing with Occupy at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, And I think the way Vancouver's handled it is somewhere down the middle. It's not crazy much about getting them out, like, and trampling on human rights. And it's not completely on the other side, which you're, quote-unquote, pandering to everything, demand, and being very cordial. Not to say I have an opinion on which way you should lean, but Vancouver's approach has been, although we get a lot of press because we're in Canada, because it's just one of the major cities, right? But I think holistically, on the grand scheme of thing, it's kind of floating under the radar in that sense. Like, it's not totally offensive, and it's not totally offensive one way or the other, right? So I don't think it's going to stick either.
You know, that made me think of one other comment that a different NBA candidate said at the Biltmore.
Yep.
Which was with the question and answer session at the end. Someone asked a question about, like, affordable housing or whatever, homeless people, and she said, you know, is Elizabeth Ball.
Oh, okay. Ball? Yes, yes.
I felt she got kind of ridiculed a bit because some of her comments just seemed a bit out there. Or almost kind of, like, uncompassionate.
Right.
And one of the biggest one, and even I chuckled because I was like, really? She said, you know, back in the 80s and stuff, like, wherever she first started, she was talking about a couple of decades ago.
Right, and she'd been on council, I think, at some point in her life as well. She's already been on council, I think.
Yeah, she's not, like, a new...
No.
She said, you know, way back then, like, 20 years ago, we had some homeless people, but there was no homeless problem. And people gasped. Like, I get what she's saying, right? She's just saying it's not at the level it is now. It's not, right. But, you know... Homeless is homeless, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of people in the room were like literally, pouring out statements, like, I can hear in the room, like, wow, did she just say that? Or, like, right. Oh my God, she just said something, like,
Did she realize that? Did she see that reaction and she tried to, did she try to recover from that or no? Or was she kind of oblivious to that reaction to her words?
She didn't really try to backtrack. But she did, you could tell, she was looking around the room, she could tell there was vocal,
right?
People being offended by that comment. And I thought, wow, okay, the true NPA, true colors coming out here.
You know, it's funny you should mention Elizabeth Bobbs. I read her bio in the guide, right? Yeah. Or her little blurb in the guide. And I know a little bit about her history. I think she's been very strong in the arts community for many years and a strong supporter in the arts.
Yes.
And that's really clear and a wonderful thing. But it was funny because you should tap on phrasing. Because I remember with her comments, I remember what my reaction to her comments was, you know, her bio was, that she said, you know, and it was written in third person, you know, Elizabeth Ball has been a champion of, and then she listed a whole bunch of different, or the bio lists a whole bunch of things. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but what does that mean, champion of? Like, I could be easily, like, I could say, you know,
yeah,
I'm a champion, I championed, like, championed ED at the end in past tense, colon, these things.
Right.
And I don't know, like, the word champion to me is kind of vague. Like, I could, like, I've been supportive, like, say, I, Justin, have been a supporter of revitalizing the downtown east side and Woodward's building being a centerpiece of that. Like, whether or not I agree with how that's happened or not is irrelevant to this, to the point I'm trying to make. But I could easily just put in anything. Well, yeah, I was a champion for it. Like, I mean, I supported it, but I had nothing to do with it. Like,
right.
I wasn't on any committee. I didn't help design it. I wasn't at a meeting that helped, and I don't live in that neighborhood. And so, like, if you should actually be more clear, like, I was on this committee that made this happen.
Sure.
Or I was the co-chair of this arts initiative or this piece. Like, I don't know. It's to me, the way the wording of the bio was, it made me seem like she just likes these things. Like, well, I like puppies and kittens. Doesn't mean I create them or, you know, or something. Right. And so I just kept thinking someone at the NPA or maybe her communicate, like, I gotta help with the wording a bit, because it just seems so throwing a whole bunch of names but not really saying what you believe or what you actually did with those things, right? And maybe she was really key on all of those, but it wasn't clear because it just said championed. That could be anything. I don't know, but maybe other people think the word championed is a bit more concrete, but I don't know.
I just read the little recaps of everyone in the booklet that were actually intelligible.
Mm.
There was a few in there that didn't make any sense whatsoever.
Because I read the, I read, you know, the page before all of those bios, right? All of those little information blurbs. It says very clearly, you know, the city will not edit anything.
Right.
Spelling errors, grammar, glaring errors. The only thing that they will do is to get it under 150 words.
Sure.
And that's the only thing they'll do.
Yeah.
And
you have to say that.
Yeah. Because it's really clear. Like, even some of the very professional ones have typos, spacing errors. Like, I'm not professional ones. The one from the two big parties, right? Sure.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, and I'm a little bit less fickle about that because I'm like, you know, it happens to the best of them. I've put stuff and edited it and put it to the printers and it gets printed and you see this error. Like, it happens to all of us. So I'm not so worried about that, but when they're incomprehensible or when...
Well, you know, that's the word, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just, there's just no way to read it and make sense of a sentence. Like, that's where I was kind of dismayed. I was like, really? Like, come on.
There's a really funny one from a mayor candidate. I mean, I only read, I read a lot of the mayor ones just because I know who I'm voting for, right? It's really between those two. But his photo, I don't remember the guy's name. His eyes are closed.
Yes, that's that guy. No hair.
Yeah, no hair. And the only thing I could understand from that little blurb was that he had run for mayor in somewhere in Ontario at some point in his life.
Okay. The rest, I could not even make sense of.
Sure. And you know what's actually kind of cool? Like, you were laughing at me before we started that I had the app for the Vancouver Vancouver votes. And it's kind of cool. And I don't know whether or not the website has it too, but you can actually see the actual nomination paper. Like, if you go to, let's say, Suzanne Anton's little bio, you can click to send her an email. You can click to see their website, but you can also click to see the nomination paper.
Huh.
And I actually show it's all, most of them are. I didn't look at Suzanne Anton's, but I looked at some of the other ones, and it's handwritten form, and it has their address. Like, you could know exactly where any of these candidates live, and then you can see which were the 10 or 20 people who signed the nomination paper. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Okay.
I thought, now that's open government, open process. I really like that.
Hmm. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Anyways, we've talked at length about the election, so...
Yeah, we did.
But I put down Herman Cain video, because I'm going to put a link to it, or at least send it to you, because you have to... It was, like, a buzzy for, like, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, when Herman Cain was really clearly becoming someone with some resonance with the Republican voters in the primaries, and then he just did this ad. It's a very odd ad. And the thing I'll say about it is that the reaction, I think it was, the video was a test about, you know, who is sort of more moderate Republicans and who would react and who are more fundamental Republicans in that sort of sense. Because I think for people who are more, you know, right wing Republicans or conservative, maybe Tea Party kind of thing. Maybe the demographic is more of them have a higher percentage of smokers. Or you know, if you smoke, it's your problem, it's your business, I don't care about it, right? That sort of liberal, libertarian kind of view, right? And so, you know, if you see just randomly the campaign manager, yes, vote for Herman Cain, I will, whatever he says, I can't remember what he says. And then suddenly you see his face and he goes, so for those of you people who are listening, I'm just slowly putting a cigarette to my mouth and puffing up.
Right.
And he puffs up. And it's, like, shocking. Like, so if you have a more progressive view, I think you would be shocked and, like, this is so random.
Yeah.
And then if you have a different point of view that is more libertarian or what have you, or and then it's just whatever. Like, you don't even notice it. It's as if he blinked, right? Like,
crazy,
right? So I think it was a test to sort of see who resonated with what and what their reaction was. I think they're crazy, but crazy like a fox.
More like a Ron Swanson point of view.
Ron Swanson point of view, yes, exactly.
Well, the video I saw was, you may have seen, but, you know, he's this whole sexual harassment thing that's plaguing him, right?
Yes.
Well, he was doing
I don't remember. Oh, wait, no, I do remember.
Yeah. That, he's standing doing a speech somewhere outside, and there's people watching, whatever, the guy filming. And he goes, in this country, we've got an economy problem. We have an energy problem. We have a moral problem. And then someone yells out, you have a moral problem, or something like that.
Oh, no.
So funny. And then there's the other video. He sat down with someone from some reporter or something, asking him about Libya.
Oh, yes. This is what I saw.
Unbelievable. And then, you know, because he just didn't have any idea of how to answer the question, right? But I read the follow-up, which was like, well, he's going from place to place. Like, he had, like, 3 hours sleep or something, and he's... Sorry, but that's not good enough.
Every president has 3 hours sleep every night.
Yeah, like, every candidate going for president are constantly going everywhere.
Yeah.
And
well, the one where he says that he's worried about China getting the nuclear... getting nuclear capabilities, which they've had since the 60s.
Well, when we were in Portland, a Republican debate... came on TV when we happened to be in our hotels for the part of the evening.
Right.
And I saw the ad for it in the New York Times. I read the New York Times. Or some local thing, rather. And they said it's going to be on. So it came on. We were a half hour into it, and I started to watch. And the guy from 60 Minutes was adjudicating it.
Right. Moderating it.
Moderating it. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name right now, but... He's like the main guy on 60 Minutes now with white hair.
Okay.
Really good, I think, really awesome guy to do it. So the Republican debate, and I was like, oh. And, you know, all their, where we tuned in, they were talking about China, right? Well, it's like, we're going to stand up to China, and we're going to, you know, make sure that, you know, this and this and that. And it's like... They're sounding so combative about China, but when they get into power, there's no way they're going to have that tone. It's like they only owe China $800 billion or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, they're it was about the hacking into the government secrets.
Right.
China's hacking into U.S. government secrets. Like, we're going to stand strong against China and, you know, and it's like, well, okay. But, you know, like, they come across as so just, like... unreasonable.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you know, and it's so again, things aren't simple. People say, "Well, you know, things aren't so complicated. It's really clear." And like, yes, I'd love to believe that, but it's not true.
It's just
because
not.
You know, if it was simple, then America wouldn't have to sell any of their goods and produce them to China. And to sell for the Chinese to buy them.
Yeah. Vice versa.
And vice versa. You know, we wouldn't be, you know, getting all sorts of, you know, stuff like
toys,
like and iPods and iPads and all this stuff. You know, we wouldn't use any of their labor. You know, and because, I mean, it's because it's actually the simple thing is, you know, corporate America isn't hiring. They're stockpiling a heck of a lot of money and being risk averse. And they're not, you know, saying, well, yeah, I'm going to spend a bit extra or a lot extra and pay my workers in the United States to build these iPods and to get these raw materials and refine them here in the United States. And, you know, like it or not, it's a market economy and that yes. drives everyone's standard of living.
Yeah.
And if America isn't going to feed itself and produce itself and buy from itself in a holistic way.
Yes.
And always aren't, you know, and was willing to pay more for stuff and you know, businesses willing to invest in, you know, then sure. Then vilify your biggest marketplace.
Yeah. Right?
Sure, go ahead.
That's why it's just like, you know, like I can understand the concern, but they got to come at it in a different way. Like, of course, they'd be concerned about that and they would bring that up with the Chinese government, right? Like, if they were in power, yeah. It's like, sure, but it's like, you know, they're going to take something away too, you know? Like, so I just thought, I thought that was an interesting thing that I saw because they all look like buffoons up there, you know, the Republican candidates. But.
Well, all I know, it's anyone but Mitt. It's so, my big theme about politics in this particular podcast is, you can tell, I'm feeling sorry for people. But I feel really sorry for Mitt Romney. Because he must be thinking, what's wrong with me? Like,
I know.
Just love me. Uh-huh. Like, please, just love me.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking for someone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rick Perry, of all people, who cannot remember the third
agency
that he'd wipe out, is still, you know, gravitating supporters and voters to some level, because it's anyone but Mitt.
Yeah.
And weird. I just feel really bad for the guy.
He's too soft for everybody. They want the hard line. Hardliner. They're going to try as hard as they can until they get to the Republican nomination. They'll be like, fine, we'll throw Mitt in there.
You know, and I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Eventually, I'm just going to say, you know, okay.
Gingrich.
That's what people are saying. Gingrich is going to be the next one who'll get this bump, right? And yeah, he'll sort of get up there. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Well, that's probably a good amount of politics.
Yes.
But, well, I think we covered a lot today, actually.
We did.
You think it's time for lunch soon, or any other last thoughts?
Starving. Except we didn't get to talk about because you were in Portland and you're in Hawaii.
Oh,
in
yes,
between our podcast, and I know all of our avid listener is really keen on
and listener
Vanessa, hi. Oh, actually, my cousin Chrissy from Victoria, I was hearing just recently, she said she was talking about listening to our podcast. So my cousin in Victoria.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was like, hey, listeners.
Did she like us yet?
Maybe, I can't remember.
Maybe she wants to hear us first.
Well, but she was listening. She said she was referencing a podcast we had done.
Oh, great.
And I was like, whoa, thank you.
Well, and there's some of our closest friends who listen from time to time, too.
Right. So we do have listeners, so we should be saying plural. But yeah, anything you want to share about any of those experiences as we wrap it up that was really a highlight, or just like, God, that was so awesome. I'm sure there's lots from Hawaii, at least.
Yeah, there's lots from Hawaii. Oh, boy. What do I pick? You know, I really like the snorkeling, actually. You know, we took a boat trip to this Molokini, this, like, reef area, about, like, however many miles out in the ocean, and we saw a bunch of coral reef fish and a turtle that was just sitting there at the bottom of the ocean. But the cooler part was when the last morning, we went for an early ocean swim, got our gear on, and not too far out from the shore, next thing you know, like a few feet of Elaine is a turtle swimming, like a huge turtle. And I was like, Elaine, you know? And she went after it, like, not very closely, but enough where she could take our underwater camera.
And then she speared it and killed it. No? Oh, sorry.
It was just points like that where it was like, stunning. Wow, just out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
A turtle, and it's just remarkable. And it was just those times, you know, just waiting in the water, you know, close to shore, that the beautiful day, and we're taking pictures of each other, and just those times that were just so amazing, you know, like, so it, for me, it's always the simpler things, you know, just the more aesthetic, kind of beautiful moments that I really gravitate towards. I mean, there was so many things we did, so many activities, but for me, it was just, you know, just being together and being out in the water together. Like, she's a real water baby, Elaine is. So there were some points where she was so genuinely happy and joyful, and everything just washed away. Any concern that she had, that I thought was really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the parts I like the most.
Wow.
Yeah, and Portland was great. It's just like Vancouver, except even more progressive, I would say. And there's a lot of things we can learn from them, like wine tastings at the farmers markets. And we had a great time with Dexter, stayed at a cool little hotel. Price-wise, it was great. We just enjoyed a really nice dinner and a bar, and Dexter was great in the hotel by himself. We left him for a couple hours, and he was great. He just slept, because we worked him out pretty good with our walks.
Sure.
So, yeah, the donuts were great. So it was a lot of fun driving down our Nexus Pass. We bypassed our lines at the border, so.
Nice.
Can't beat it.
Yeah. Sounds perfect.
So in a nutshell, there you go.
Good.
So I'll bring up more as we go along.
I just wanted to, you know, make sure we talked a little bit about that. That's great.
Awesome.
So, we're done.
We're done. We gotta go chow now.
Yes.
Chow down.
I am starving. So, that's episode 46, and we'll see you next week, right?
Yeah, we're gonna squeak right at 60 minutes exactly here, so...
Perfect.
You can find us online at www.thedotmatrix.com, and also you can download our podcast on iTunes. You can like our Facebook page.
We should get onto Twitter next.
You know what? That's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Something to think about in the last...
talk about that more.
5 seconds.
Okay, and 5, 4. Okay.
See you.
Bye.